maybe we'll just start the next two, we won't be able to finish it, and then we'll continue after the finals are over. We learned in the Mishnah on Pei Zayinim and Aleph, Ebrido Isha Piki Yosem Ra, Achevel Behem Chai Behem Shechov Le Bacherem Turim, Avon Mishalmim La'ach HaZman. So why is Mishalmim La'ach HaZman? Because the Pturim temporarily, Rashi says, Shein Lehem Melu Shalom, they have no money, they have no assets. But Nizgar Shoish and Nishtacho Ha'eved, the Konon Nechosim, Rashi says, then Chayav Nishalom, because they were really Mechliyev to pay all along. So the Gemara is going to raise a question now on the bottom line, starting from the bottom line on Peches and Aleph, going on for the next two dafim. Why does the woman not have any assets? When a woman gets married, so she's penniless. The woman has a girl has a bank account, but she's single. So what happens? The girl has jewelry, the girl has clothing, the girl has all kinds of assets when she's single. So what happened to all of those assets? So usually when the girl gets married, so you write down an iksuga, and the following is the value of all of the assets that she's bringing into the marriage. Clothing, tachshitim, bank accounts. So you write, that's called nichsei tzoyin barzel. You write into the ksuba the value of all of the property that she has. Today we don't assess the value, because there was a minhag from centuries ago that you always write the same amount. So for a single girl who's getting married for the first time, so you write that the value of all of the assets that she's bringing into the marriage is me'er zekuk and kesef tzarf. If the girl is getting married for the second time, she's a grusha and almana, she's getting married for the second time, so maybe one would have thought she should have more assets, I don't know, so we assume she has less assets. So we assess all of the value of all of our property at half the amount, at chamishim zekukin, instead of me'er zekukin kesef tzarf. Zekukin is German coins from the days of the Maharil, from the 1300s. So if the girl is getting married for the first time, a psula, so then you assess the value of all of her assets at 100 zekukin kesef tzarf. She's a grusha and almana, so you assess the value of all the assets at 50 zekukin kesef tzarf. So this was the minhag that was established years ago. And at that time, the me'er zekukin kesef tzarf is way more than the value of all of the girl. In a whole lifetime, she's never going to have so much money. So this was always a guzman. It doesn't correspond to reality, a checker. So the answer is the chasin made a haidahs baldin. Haidahs baldin kemedim dahin. I could admit that of the clear blue sky that I owe you $1 million even though I don't owe you the money. And the edim are here. And I say, write a shtar that I owe you. I borrowed from you $1 million in the past. Not true. I never met you before. But if I make a haidahs baldin, so haidahs baldin kemedim dahin. So that's what the chasin tells the edim. Sign a ksuba that says that the girl is bringing into the marriage 100 zekukin kesef tzarf worth of nedunya. Nedunya means the value of all of the property that she has. So this was instituted in the days of the Maharil. They always write such a guzma. And then however much the value of all of the property that she, the assets that she's bringing into the marriage, so the chasan is so madly in love with her and he respects her so much, so he says he's going to add on tosefes ksuba. If he'll divorce her, or if he'll die and she'll become an almana or a grusha, she'll be able to collect the ksuba, then not only should she be entitled to collect the ikar ksuba, the three parts to every ksuba. There's ikar ksuba, there's tosefes ksuba, and there's nedunya, nechse tzoyin barzel. So the ikar ksuba is mamish peanuts. The ikar ksuba is chamishim shekel kesef for a girl who's getting married for the first time. Kesef yishkol kemohar habesulos. Einus and mafata have to pay chamishim shekel kesef. That's mohar habesulos. That's masayim zuz. There are 4 zuzim in every shekel. The 50 shkolim in the chumash is the equivalent of 200 zuz. So that's if the girl is getting married for the first time. If the girl's an almona or a grusha, so she gets half of that amount. She only gets instead of 200 zuz, which is the equivalent of 50 shkolim, she only gets 100 zuz, the equivalent of 25 shkolim. So that's mamish garnish min garnish. That's hardly anything. Because chamishim shekel kesef is 10 times pidyon abed. Pidyon abed is 5 shekel kesef. And chamishim 50 is 10 times 5. So how much do you give for pidyon abed? How much will you give Sacha Kol for Pigyon HaBet? $30, let's say. $30 you're going to give for Pigyon HaBet. No one gives so much. Let's say a big guzman, you're going to give $30. So 10 times $30, or $300. That's the Ikek Suba. The Sacha Kol is $300. That's very little. In the days of the Gemara, that was a lot of money. And this man is as garnish. It's worthless. So the Iker value of the Ksuba is really the Nidunya with the Tosefes. We assess how much all of the property is worth that the girl is bringing into the marriage, and the husband is accepting the responsibility for all of that. Let's say the clothing that she's bringing in, very expensive clothing, they're going to be married for 80 years. He's going to die at the age of 100, let's say. They're going to be married for 80 years. That clothing is going to disappear. She's not going to have that clothing 80 years later. 10 years later, she's not going to have that clothing. 5 years later, she's probably not going to have that clothing. It's all going to be gone. But nonetheless, that's what we call Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel. Tzoyim, sheep, are born and they die. They have a lifespan. When they die, a goodbye, no more sheep. But if you have Tzoyim Barzel, if you can have sheep that are made from iron, so the metal is going to last much longer. Not going to last forever, but it's going to last much longer. So that's why we call the Nidunya, the Gemara refers to it as Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel, because the husband accepts upon himself Achrayus. He says, in the event that I divorce you, or that I die, and you should be entitled, and Sarah Marlon's Garsha, she's entitled to collect the Ksuba, she's going to collect back the full value of all of the property that she brought into the marriage, even though by the time he's divorcing or by the time he's dying, that property already disappeared a long time ago. She came in with clothing, and her mother bought her sheets, and the blankets and all kinds of things, and everything's gone already. After somebody has a jewelry, probably still going to be around. But let's say the girl's parents bought her a set of dishes, plastic dishes, milchik dishes. After 60 years of marriage, all the dishes are going to be gone. They're going to have different set of dishes. So whatever she brought into the marriage is going to be gone and forgotten. But nonetheless, that's what he accepted upon himself. He accepted achrayus on the nichsei tzoyim barzel. So in the days of the Maril, so they used to write a guzman to assess the value of all of the property that this girl bringing into the marriage. They assessed it at this unimaginable amount of money, like saying $2 million worth. They used to write hundreds of kuf and keset tzara. Today, the hundreds of kuf and keset tzara are sometimes less than the value of the father gave his daughter an automobile, and she has a lot of jewelry, and she has a lot of dishes and everything, so it may turn out that it's worth much more than Meir Zikuf and Kesef Tzara. But that's the minig. That's the minig all over the world, that you just write that amount. In Eretz Yisrael, but they didn't really collect the ksuba. When a woman gets divorced, they really collect the ksuba. So sometimes they'll really assess how much everything is worth. So if they'll see, and they won't write that it's assessed that Meir Zikuf and Kesef Tzara. Nobody knows exactly how much that's worth. They published essays about this. The values, the different opinions fluctuate tremendously. So in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of times where they're really going to collect whatever it says in the Ksuba, in the event that they get divorced. So a lot of times I write down in contemporary terms that they'll assess how much it's worth by Shkolim. And they really write down. If the father of the girl gave her an automobile, gave her an apartment in Rehavia or something, so they'll write down how much it's really worth. And it'll be worth much more than 100 zikuf and keset tzara. Okay. So that's the nichsei tzoyim barzel, is the value of the property that she brings into the marriage, that the husband is prepared to accept upon himself. They'll assess at the time of the marriage how much it's worth. And he'll accept upon himself the responsibility that if it'll be time for her to collect the ksuba, she should have the right to collect the full amount of all the value of the property that she brought into the marriage. What is nichsei maluk? Nichsei Maluk is the property that she brought into the marriage that the husband never accepted upon himself the achrayus for. So what's the din of Nichsei Maluk? So the Nichsei Maluk belongs to the wife, but there's a takanas chachamim that the baal is echal peiros. Let's say the wife has money in a bank account. And they didn't include that into the ksuba. They did not incorporate that into the nichsei tzoyim barzel. The nichsei tzoyim barzel, you're right. Bein bekesed, bein mizav, bein mimanad delavusha, bein mimanad deshimushi darsha, deshimushi deira. You're right. Clothing, jewelry, kesed, mizav, jewelry, you write the sheets, you write into the ksuba furniture, shimushidira, shimushidarsa, you write sheets. But the money in the bank account was never included in the nitzit zon barzon. Hazm never accepted the achrayus on that. So that has the status, whatever money she has in bank accounts, but when she was single, that remains as nichsei malug. So what's a din nichsei malug? Nichsei malug belonged to the wife. And the baal zechel peiros. So let's say when she got married, she had $50,000 in her bank account, and then accumulates interest, whatever. So that interest, al pi din, the husband has a right to take. Well, let's imagine that when the girl was the girl got married at the age of 35, and she was a lawyer, and she was in real estate, and she was a tumbler. That's why she waited till 35 to get married. And the time she gets married, she owns real estate, she owns apartment buildings, she owns the Empire State Building, let's say. She's collecting a lot of rent from all of the tenants who rented her apartments. So once she gets married, she doesn't incorporate the value of the Empire State Building into the tzuda. You just write clothing, sheets, blankets, jewelry. You specify what. You assess the value of all of those things at mezekub and kesed tzara. But the real estate that she has, we didn't assess. So that remains nichsei maluk. So nichsei maluk belongs to the isha and the baal zechel peiros. The nichsei tzara in barzel, because the husband accepted upon himself achrayus, that in the event that it gets destroyed or lost or it depreciates, let's say it stays around, but it depreciates, so he's going to, if it'll be time for her to collect the ksuba, namely either his nisamrlo on his garsha, then he's going to pay the full value of all of the full value that it was worth at the time that they got married. So then the halacha declares that the nichsei tzara in barzel belong to the husband because of the fact that he's chayav b'achrayus. So we distinguish the nichsei tzara in barzel belong to whatever she brings into the marriage. Whatever is assessed in the ksuba, that's nichsei tzara in barzel, that belongs to the husband. Whatever was never assessed in the ksuba, that's nichsei maluk, that belongs to the wife. So why does the Mishnah say that whoever vayishu pikiyosim ro, chavon b'acherim p'turim, because they have nothing to pay, Rashi says, they have no assets, only nisam lo on his garsha, lachazman, you'll collect. Why is ain't lahem elu shalem? They have the nichsei maluk. Why don't they have the nichsei maluk? Why can't you collect from the nichsei maluk? That's going to be the Gemara's kasha. Gemara's going to ask, forget about nichsei maluk. So the answer is, not every girl has nichsei maluk. Girl gets married, she has no money in the bank account, she has no real estate, she's 19 when she gets married. She's 19 when she gets married, straight out of the cradle. She has no money in the bank account at all. She just has the clothing on her back, she has Shabbos dikri clothing, weekday clothing, and when they wrote in the ksubim, one of the levusha, bishimushadir, bishimushadarasa, the furniture and the sheets, that's all, and the dishes, that's all there is. There is nothing more. There is no nichsei maluk. So maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. So the Gemara is going to ask, no, it's still a kasha. The girl has the ksuba. The girl has a schus to the ksuba. The ksuba is only collectible if the sarmala or nizgarsha. Kozman, that she's married, you can't collect the ksuba. But still, doesn't the wife have the ability to sell the ksuba to someone else? There are people who are buying all kinds of futures, all kinds of things. So the girl has a potential to collect the ksuba if she'll become an almona or a grusha. So someone has to figure out how much is her ksuba worth, and what is the likelihood that she will become an almona grusha? Is she 20 years older than her husband, or is the husband 20 years older than she is? How old are the husband and the wife? And what's the life expectancy? How sick is she? How sick is he? Who's going to die first? And will she collect, and how much will she collect? And how much is that gimbal worth? So every girl who's married, even if she doesn't have any nichsei maluk at all, to call her own. She doesn't have any personal property, but she has a document that says she's entitled to ksuba if and when the husband will die or the husband will divorce her, so she can always sell that. The Mishneh Makkos talks about a girl selling her ksuba to one who likes to gamble, to one who's interested in buying such a future potential, so she can make some money on it. The ksuba is, let's say, worth $30,000 if she'll collect the ksuba, $30,000. So sometimes it'll be worth $20,000 to sell. Sometimes she'll be able to get $300 to sell, but she can still get $300 for selling the ksuba. So why does the Mishnah say that the married women don't have any assets? Some married women will have nichsei maluk, and even the married women who don't have nichsei maluk, but they have the ksuba, don't they have the ability to sell a ksuba b'toyvus hanoah? That's called to sell the Taiva Sanon. So that's the kasha that the Gemara is going to ask. So till they get to the kasha, they have to warm up. Gemara has to build up a whole discussion till they're going to get to the punchline to ask the kasha. So they start off with the story, and then they discuss what's the psak on the story, and then they discuss what's the din in general, and then they get back to the Mishnah. Then they're going to start waking up. Well, what does it say in the Mishnah over here? The chassan and the kala at the time they get married, they decide whatever he's willing to accept responsibility for. So we have a standard ksuba, but it's not a din. We have a standard ksuba. That's the nusach that was instituted by the Maharil 700 years ago. That's what they write. The husband is accepting. We make a general assessment that everything she's bringing into the marriage in the area of clothing, jewelry, and household items, furniture, and sheets, and blankets, and dishes, glasses, forks, and knives. We assess all of this as being equal to 100 zukut in kesef tzar, $15,000. A lot of times worth more. In America, for so many years, it didn't pay to be some medaktik, because after the couple gets divorced, so the wife is going to get alimony. The alimony exceeded the amount of the ksuma. So she's not entitled to collect twice. She can't go to court and collect alimony and then go to Bezdin and collect the ksuba. It's the same thing. This is a Jewish ksuba, this is a Goyish ksuba. So she can't collect twice. So because the alimony was always in excess of the ksuba, so the Rabbanim didn't bother to collect the ksuba. Now that the women were so fussy that the whole concept of alimony is we look down upon the women. Never, because such a Rahmanah, she's not going to be able to make a living. The poor girl, who's going to support her? That's the whole idea of the ksuba is. The girl is never her Rahmanah's case. So if the husband divorces her, if the husband dies, so we have to give her a ksuba. So the women's lib movement changed all of that. Why should you look down on the women that it's Rahmanah's? It's the same Rahmanah's on the husband. So they changed the secular law. So sometimes the wife has to pay alimony to the husband. Sometimes the husband pays alimony to the wife. So you can have a case that the wife is not going to collect any alimony. If the wife has a good job, she's a big lawyer, she's making $100,000 a year. Doesn't make, barely ekes out a living. So the husband doesn't have to pay any alimony to the wife. The wife may have to pay alimony to the husband. And that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein writes towards the end of his life. He says that now that the government changed the din in Mahus, and the wife doesn't always collect the alimony, so now we have to make sure that the ksuba will be collected. You have to make sure, we have to figure out how much is it really worth. The Masayim Zukut and Kesef Tzarev, one Meir Zukut and Kesef Tzarev, we assess the value of all of the property that she brought into the marriage. That's called Nadunya, otherwise known as Nichsei Tzayim Barzel. And then in addition to that, the husband adds on arbitrarily another Meir Zukut and Kesef Tzarev. That's Tosefes Ksuba. Osef Lamin Delay, Od Meir Zukut and Kesef Tzarev Acher. Sach HaKol Masayim Zukut and Kesef Tzarev. 100 Zukut and Kesef Tzarev for the Nedunya, and 100 Zukut and Kesef Tzarev for the Tosefes Ksuba. So Moshe says that now that the government does not always collect so much alimony, sometimes they don't collect at all. So now we have to really ascertain how much the Ksuba is worth. So here the Gemara is going to begin with the story. Find the bottom line. A funny story. There was an Amora by the name of Rav Shmuel Bar Abba from the city Hagrunya. Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, obviously his father's name was Abba. Father was married to the mother. So the mother had her own assets. What did she have? Nichsei Maluk. So the din is that when a couple is married and the wife dies, the husband yarshins the wife. Even though the wife has many children, the husband yarshins the money. Even if it's a second marriage. Even if it's the second marriage and the children that she had were from her first marriage, if the wife dies with all these assets, so all the money goes to the second husband. It's a little bit not fair. So if the woman feels that that's not fair, she's not interested in dying, okay. There are a lot of people not interested in dying. But even if she's going to die, Yimtin Slam, she's going to die, she's not interested in having her assets go to her second husband, and then he's going to die, it's going to go to his children. Why should his children get it? Lachamei Yasim Shana. She wants her children to get it. So she has to make a prenuptial agreement. So the Mishnah Ksubis tells you, how do you make a prenuptial agreement? The husband has the right to be mevater on the Schus Yerusha. The husband, when he's engaged to marry his second wife, So he cannot say at that time, I'm moichel diskus Yerusha. That's considered mechila on a dover shalom baliyot. So that mechila doesn't help. And if they're married already, if they're going to make a post-nuptial agreement, after they got married already, after erusin with nisuin, then the husband is going to say, I'm moichel the right to Yerusha. So the Gemara says that doesn't help. That's considered mechila on a bien. Let's say I own the Gemara. So I say, I'm moichel the Gemara to you. It doesn't help. What do you mean I'm moichel the Gemara to you? I have no shaykhis with you. If I want to say I'm makna the Gemara to you, okay? So make a kinyan and it'll be yours. If you don't make a kinyan, it's not yours. Mechila only works when you're shibudim. When I own a bien, I own an object, so it's not shaykh to talk about mechila. I can't say, I'm moichel the Gemara to you. It's all yours. Okay, so make a kinyan, it'll be yours. But mechila normally doesn't need a kinyan. Mechila only works when you owe me an amount of money, when I have a schus to collect an amount of money. So mechila works on shibudim, on schus, it doesn't work on a bien. So the Gemara considers a baal b'nichsa yishta, after they had nisun already, so it's considered as if he doesn't have the Yerusha yet. The husband is not going to get the Yerusha till after the wife is going to die. So he doesn't have it yet. But it's considered as if the husband already, the schusim that the husband has while he's married to his wife, to get the Yerusha is considered more than a schus. It's considered as if he has a bailus on the mama. Let's say when a man dies and his children get the Yerusha. So while the father is alive, the children don't have any schusim. The father is alive, the mama belongs to him. After the father dies, the mama belongs to the Yerusha. The children have no schusim while the morish is alive. But over here, Abal b'nichsa yishtoi is different. There is a machlokes satanoim and a machlokes the Rambam and the Rai that had a paskin, but the Abal yerushes yishtoi is a din deraisa din derabbanan. The Rambam paskin that it's only midirabbanan, and the Rai that holds that it's a din minatur. So machlokes in Hilchos Ishus, in Peridun Hilchos Ishus, when the Rambam, first line proper, the Rambam talks about how to do erisin. Then starting from Peridun, he talks about nisuin and all the shibudim. And all the details of the ksuba, and when do you collect the ksuba, what is the wife and shuba to the husband, if we have to raise the babies and nurse the baby and cook the food and wash the clothing and so on. What shibudim does the husband have to the wife? The reciprocal is chayvuses, the obligations to each other. So in Peridun and Hilchos Ishus, then it's repeated again in Hilchos Nachlis. So the Rambam writes that Habal Yerusha Sishti is only with the Rabbanim. He follows that. He's adopted that opinion of that Tana, and the Ravid thinks that we should adopt the opinion of the other Tana, Mechalek the Satanaim, and Yesh Noichlin, and another Mesichtis, and the end of Chorus. And the Ravid adopts the opinion of Abal Yerusha Sishta is a Din Deraisa. So even, it does make a difference, but Abal Yerusha Sishta is Deraisa the Rabbanon. Normally, Kolzman, the Morish, is still alive, the husband's going to Yarshin the wife. Kolzman, the Morish, is still alive, so the Yorish has no schusim in the nichzei ha-morish. But here, ha-baal lo'echel peris nichzei meluk. What is the husband going to yarshin from the wife? What is he going to yarshin? The nichzei tzambarzo belonged to him already. When they got married, the husband accepted upon himself the achrayis of all of the nechasim. So if he accepts the achrayis, it means that he's kind of, she gives him all the ownership of all that property. In exchange for this, he obligates himself to her, to that amount of money. So the nichzei tzambarzo already belonged to the husband. So that he doesn't have to yarshin. We're talking about yarshining the nichzei meluk. So nichzei meluk, a baal is echel peris. So the baal has a schus, achilas peris on the nichzei meluk, b'chayei ishto, while the wife is still alive. The children don't have any schus, achilas peris, on the parents' property while the parents are alive. The yarshim don't have any schus at all on the nichzei hamorish, kozman the morish is alive. The one exception to the rule is a baal b'nichzei ishtoi, because he's echel peris. Peris nichzei meluk is only takana derabbanan, it's not a din derais. So the schus habal to eat the peris nitzim meluk is what leads up later that the husband should yarshin the gamrei. That's the question. If habal yarish yisishta is a din deraisin, peris nitzim meluk is only a din derabbanan, how do you say that this leads up to that? This is a din derabbanan, that's a din deraisin. That's a good question. So let's assume for the meanwhile, it'll make it easier if you hold that habal yarish yisishta is only derabbanan. So they're both derabbanan. Habal lechel peris nitzim meluk is derabbanan. Abal Yerusha Sishta Lach Amisa Sishta is a Dinder Rabbanan. So this Dinder Rabbanan is the Hemshech of that Dinder Rabbanan. Abal Lechel Peres Nichsim Meluk. So the Schus Abal Ti Peres Nichsim Meluk develops, after she dies, it develops to become a Schus Gomer to get the whole Nechas. So that's why there's what to discuss. Is it Nitan Lemechila or not? Because this Yerusha Abal Yerusha Sishta, not a normal din Yerusha. That brokar davua ha yorish kam b'makam hamorish. Yorish kam b'makam hamorish. If the yorish calls man, the morish is alive. The yorish has no schusim at all. So here it's different. The baal does have schus peris nitzim alu. So therefore we say, therefore we assume the gemara assumes like that, that the right to the husband to yarshin nitzim yishta is a schus mamin. And it's a schus moment that flows, it starts off with the schus peris nitzim alub. It's a schus to get peris nitzim alub, and that schus develops to become a kinyan gomri after the wife dies. So therefore this is what to discuss, is a shach that the husband should be moichal on the schus. So, mechila usually does work on a schus. So the Gemara says, not so fast. When the husband is engaged to the woman, when they're not yet married, they're only engaged, they cannot be moichal on the schus Yerusha. It's adayin adavah shelo bal yoreh. It didn't get off the ground. If they already had erisin and nisuin, and then he's going to be moichal. So then the Gemara says, we treat the schus habal, the peres nitzim aluv, that's going to ultimately lead up to develop to become a schus gama to get the whole Yerusha. We treat it as if it's a bailus. Amur rabbanon the shibud the bal the nitzay yishtoi. We treat it as if it's a bailus on a bien, and there's no mechil on a bien. So when does the Mishnah say Hakosev leYishtoi? So Mishnah and Ksuvah is Perak Hakosev. That's what it starts with. The husband, and it's in the Gittin also a discussion in the Gittin. So when does the husband have the ability to be moichel to forgo the schus to Yerusha Yishtoi? In between Erisin and Nisun. Before Erisin, the schus Yerusha is davish lo bal yona. After Nisun, I treat the schus as if it's a bailos on a bien. There's no mechil on a bien. But during Erisin. During Erisin, he doesn't have the schus peris nitzim aluv yet. The schus to get peris only begins after nisuin. But still, I consider it as if he has a schus to get the schus. During Erisin, he has a schus to get the schus peris nitzim aluv. So then, mechila will work. The question is, by Yas, in the days of the Gemara, that was a gap of 6 months, or 12 months. Let's say the woman's getting married for the second time. Usually, there used to be a big gap of 6 months. Bisula, who's got a young girl's getting married for the first time. So it used to be a pause of 12 months in between Erisin and Nisun. A woman is getting married for the second time. So the Mishnah says, you used to wait a half a year. Zman said, we don't wait a half a year. So when is the husband, what do you mean, in between Erisin and Nisun? When is the husband going to squeeze in to be Moichel, the Schus Yerusha to his wife? How much time is there between Erisin and Nisun? He says, Ariyam Mekudeshesli, they're standing under the canopy. He says, Ariyam Mekudeshesli. So it becomes an Eishes Ish. And then she's standing under the canopy. So she becomes an Asua, no? She becomes an Asua the next second. So there is no time. There isn't even a minute in between. So how? So some of the answer is that we prefer to recite the Sheva Brachas under the Chuppah, the Brichas Nisua, and Oiva Lasiyasa. That's what the Vesersi quotes in Evanas. The proper thing is to recite. He quotes the Baluita says, because the Kolab Mitzvah is Kulim Barach Aleim Ovelas Yosem. That's when you're saying a Bichas HaMitzvah. So you say Ovelas Yosem. All the Sheva Brachas are Bichas HaMitzvah. Yotze Ha'odam HaShiyotze HaMitzalmo. This is not a Bichas HaMitzvah. Bichas HaMitzvah has his Tvara Shekirishonim and Mitzvahs of Tzivonim. This is not a Bichas HaMitzvah. So he means similar. The Baluita means it's similar to a Bichas HaMitzvah that the Chachamim are Misakim. That all Bichas HaMitzvah should be recited Oivel HaSiyasam. Similarly, the correct practice should be you should recite Bichas Nisuin Oivel HaSiyasam before you do the Nisuin. So really more correct would have been we should recite Bichas Nisuin and then walk under the Chuppah. That's what the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rishonim. The Ran and other Rishonim talk like that. He should say Haret Mekudeshesli and then say and read the Ksubet and then recite Bichas Nisuin and then walk under the Chuppah. Unless you hold that the Chuppah is nothing, you hold that the yichud room in the back, that's it. So it's not called Ovel HaSiyasim. Ovel HaSiyasim. That's what the Rambam holds. The Rambam holds that sitting under the canopy is nothing. It's the yichud room in the back. So it is Ovel HaSiyasim. So that's a question. Exactly how. But Lamaisa, we probably all have in mind that we want the Bichas Nisuin to be Ovel HaSiyasim. So even though we're all standing, the Chasan Kala is standing under the chuppah at the time that he gives the ring Hariat Mekudeshesli, they have in mind not to be koineh the nisuin until later. They don't want the nisuin to take effect till after all the bichas nisuin are completed. So the sheva brachas under the chuppah will have been recited over l'asiyasim prior to the nisuin. So you have that those few minutes. in between Hariyat Mekudeshes, when she becomes an Arusa, and the completion of all the Sheva Brachas, you're going to read the Ksub in between, then you're going to have, the rabbi is going to recite all the seven Brachas under the Chuppah. So during that span of 5 minutes or so, 5-10 minutes, the husband could be Meichel to the wife, the Schus Yerusha. If they want to have such a prenuptial dinner, so what's he going to do? So how are you going to do it? So Lemaisa, what they do is, those who want to make such a prenuptial agreement, usually by second marriage, and the wife has assets from previously. She wants her assets to go to her children. She doesn't want it to go to the husband. Then it's going to go to his children. So what they do is the husband draws up such a document and he signs it. And then he puts it in an envelope. And under the chuppah, after he gives her the ring, he says, Hari Avram Kadesh's place, he gives her an envelope. And he knows and she knows what the envelope means. He doesn't have to scream out loud that he's mabat to the schus to Yerusha, but that's what's in the envelope. That's what's supposed to be in the envelope. Because he has this span, he has a window of opportunity, the 5-10 minutes in between the Hariyat Mekudeshes Li and the completion of the brachas under the chuppah to be moichel on the schus Yerusha. So here the Gemara has such a story. A woman was married and she had children from that husband. And for some reason or another, she didn't want her Yerusha to go to her husband. She wanted the Yerusha to go to the son, who's the son of that husband. The Gemara says, "Ime de Rav Shmuel bar Abba mehagrunya, the mother of this Amora, havas nisibalei de Rav Abba." She was married to the father of the Amora. This was his son. Kisavtinu lenichse, she wrote over all of her nichse malur. The nichse tambaza belonged to the husband, so she can't give that away. So she gave as a gift, kisavtinu. She was married already for many years. She had a son as already a prominent rabbi. She's in her, she's in her 60s. What was the life expectancy of his man? I don't know, 50s, 60s, whatever. So, Ksavtina l'nichse l'Rav Shmuel bar Abba bro. She writes a document, she gives over ownership of all of her assets. What assets? It's a malum. She gives it to the son. What do you mean giving it to the son? So that when she's going to die, instead of the husband yarshining, the son should get all of the nichse malum. Basa d'shchiva, she was planning to die. So after she dies, Azal Rav Shmuel bar Abba kamed Rav Yumya bar Abba. Apparently his brother was a rabbi. He's a Rav Shmuel bar Abba, and his brother is Rebbe Yumya bar Abba. He's a real rabbi. One is a reverend, one is a rabbi. That's what it looks like. So apparently the brother, Rebbe Yumya bar Abba, was a Moira Haro, or a Dayan or something. And he says, look, Mom gave me this document. She's giving me all the ownership of all of this Sibbalug. And the mother died right after the Shiva. He goes to the brother. They were sitting Shiva together, the father and two sons. So after the Shiva's all over, he says, Mom gave me Ashtar. She gives me ownership of all of this Sibbalug. The father doesn't get it. So the brother says, that's right. Belongs to you. It's all yours. Also, Rab Shema Barab Kamed Rab Yemer goes to his brother, Ukme bin Ichse. He paskins, it's all yours. You're entitled to take all the property. The father gets nothing. Father does not yarshin the mother. The yorish only gets what belongs to the morish at the time of death. But if the morish gave it away, my father owned a house in Manhattan. And he sold it. And then he dies. He says, I don't yarshin it. If it didn't belong to my father at the time of death, so you don't yarshin. See, the husband yarshins the wife. The husband yarshins whatever assets she owned, whatever nichs meluk she owned. At the time of her death, she already gave away all of her nichsim look to her son, Rav Shmuel bar Abba. So the husband gets nothing. There's nothing there to Yashu. So the husband felt bad about this. Also, Rav Abba, so the father went, Amor l'milsa kamedi raboshia. He asked, is there anything you can do for me? Is there any way out of this? Also, raboshia. So he didn't know. Also, raboshia kamedi rabuda. He went to rabuda. Amalai hachi amish Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was the Talmud of Shmuel, so he says, Shmuel, a gepaskin, v'ish yishamach minich simul b'chai b'ayla mesa, apal motzi miyar al kuchus. The wife does not have, the wife after nisuin, does not have the ability to sell the nich simulu. Why not? A mysterious psak. Why not? V'ish yishamach minich simulu, if machra is no good, so nastan amatan is also no good. Here, she didn't sell it, she gave him matana. So she gave him matana. It's the same as selling. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that the mother had no right. The mother was ready after nisuin. She didn't have the ability to sell the Nichsim Meluga, to give away the Nichsim Meluga. Abal Motzim El Alkuch, the Baal Yarshins, despite the fact that the mother didn't want him to Yarsh.
But it doesn't mean that
it means that the Mechira is not Chah. So they went and they told back Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that you paskin wrong. You paskin, Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba paskin, that Rabbi Shmuel Bar Abba, his brother, can keep the property and the father doesn't get it. The father, Rabbi Abba, doesn't get it. So they told the Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba that Shmuel, that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that you paskin wrong. He said, I don't know what Shmuel said, I just know it's a Mishnah. Amalahu, Anom Asniti Yadainam. I know there's a Mishnah Disnan. What does the Mishnah say? Mishnah Bava Basar. It's quoted in Yavamas, but the Mishnah is in Bava Basar. Akaisim Nechasim Lebeno Lachamoso. A man is about to die. When he dies, all the property goes to all of his children. He has 10 children. He doesn't like 9 of the 10 children. But 9 are multimillionaires. They don't need his money. One of them is a poor slob learning in a yeshiva. A rabbi. So he wants to give all of the nechassim to that rabbi, to that one son, and the other sons don't need. But he does want to give him the assets while he's still alive. The father may live another 100 years. So what am I going to give away all of my assets to my son, the Talmid Chacham? He may take all the money. He won't give me back any money. I don't trust my son. He may take all the money and walk away, and he's not going to give me a penny. So he's only hakosev nechassim lebno la'acham oso. The father writes a shtar matona, hereby give you to the son, to one out of his 10 sons. I give you ownership of all of the property that I have. La'achamisa. Not mechayim. I don't want to give it mechayim. Mechayim, you'll clean me out, you'll walk away, I'll be left penniless. He says, I give you everything la'achamisa. No, la'achamisa is no good. La'achamisa. There's no kinya, ain't kinya la'achamisa. So what do you mean? Akosiv kol nechosiv lebno la'achamoso. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara. See the Rashi, the second line from the top. Rashi quotes from the Gemara Bava Basra, then Kuflam and Bava. What it means is, Mahayom alachamoso. That's what he writes. Not that he writes, Kol nechasa k'rim l'cho lachamisa. Kol nechasa k'rim l'cho lachamisa. Ain't kinya lachamisa. See, that's nothing. That's no good. And Moshe Feinstein has a very big chiddush that I don't think is accepted. He didn't even consider it such a big chiddush. He didn't even write it a separate tshuva. It's just tacked on to the end of another tshuva. And the whole world war broke out in there. Most of the rabbanim did not accept the Moshe's chiddush. Moshe says, "Ein kinya lachamis only means if there's a gap between the time that I die and the time that you're kinya. Let's say I write all of my property, all of my assets should belong to you as of, let's make a good date, as of the year 2060. And I don't live so long to 2060. I die in 2059. I don't live so long to 2060. So who did it belong to in the year between 2059 and 2060? So it went to my Yorshim, and then a year later, after I die, and it goes to my Yorshim right away, then a year later, all of a sudden it's going to go to you, because I made a kinyan with you, all of my nechassim should belong to you as of January of the year 2060. So Moshe says, that's called Ein Kinya Lachamisa, because it's not going from the Makna to the Kaina. But what happens if I write a document, Kol nechassim k'rim l'chol la'achamis la'achamosi? The nechassim belong to me, calls man I'm alive. The minute that I die, it no longer belongs to me. I want it to belong to you. It should go straight from me to you. But Moshe says that that's okay. That the rule of Ein Kinya Lachamisa doesn't apply in such a case. The Pashtus and all the Gemara says not so. That's what they all argue. Pashtus and Gemara says not so. That's a fantastic Kiddush. Ramaji didn't even consider it such a big Kiddush. That Ein Kinya Lachamisa only applies if there's a gap in between the time that I die and the Zman of the Kinyan that the Lakech, that the Mekabel Matan is going to get. But if it goes straight from me, Kozman, I'm alive and I can own property, it should belong to me. The minute that I'm dead, I'm no longer able to own property, then the kinyan should take effect. This goes directly from the Noisin to the Mekabel Matana. So then Rav Moshe said, there's no problem of kinyan lachamis. So why did the Gemara have to make up a whole pshat here? Rashi's quoting the Gemara Bava Basra. Akosim nechosav lebno lachamoso. What's the problem? Why can't you be kosim nechosav lachamoso? It should go directly from the from the father to the son when the father dies. So Rashi quotes in the Gemara, no, ain kin lachamisa. The Gemara stands on the head. The Gemara says, no, mehayom lachamosa. That's what he writes. Shahaguf kane labein mehayom. Elosho v'echa laperis ad yom mosa. So you see from the simple Gemara in Bava Basra that Rashi's quoting, that what it means is, mehayom lachamisa, he's splitting. The kinyan aguf he gives to the son. Bein ben abalim, he has 10 sons. He gives the kinyan aguf, he gives to the son now. But he wants to have the kinyan peris himself. The father wants to have the right to earn money for the karka, is going to give off peris. So the father wants to retain the kinyan peris until he dies. So that's what it means. Akosim l'chos v'lachamos means, mayom l'chamisa guf mehayom, u'peris l'chamisa. That's what it means. So the pashtus is not like Rav Moshe.
According to Rav Moshe, how am I machna? How does it work?
Shtar.
Shtar
does not call the kinyana because he's still holding on, the lokech is still holding on to the shtar. So if it's shtar, but there's a gap in between my ownership and his ownership, so who did it belong to during the gap? Belong to my children? So I'm not a balabas to make a kinyan what belonged to my children, but if it's going straight from me to him and there's no time gap in between, there I'm Moshe holds that it's okay. That there is a kinyan. You can make a kinyan shahas kadim sasa, that would be an issue of prayer. That would be a shayla brayer. I say, I want you to own my property the day before I die. So you won't know till after I die when this mana kinyan took effect. When was the day before I die? So b'shas man yukayne, it wasn't yet known. B'shas man yukayne is not yet known. You'll only know later on. So the Gemara in Gittin considers that an issue of brayer. Brayer means I'm selling you ownership of a field, and I didn't decide yet which field I'm going to give you. And I'm going to decide later. So I'm making a kinyan now on an undetermined field. So that's called the aim, that's a machlokes, we paskin aim brera. We paskin Tosfos quotes from the Gemara in Beitzah. The long Tosfos over here quotes from Beitzah, Daf Lamed Ches, paskinik raboshia, that with respect to dinim deraisa aim brera, with respect to dinim derabon and yesh brera. There are three opinions in the Rishonim. There's a gigantic Ran in the Dorim, the beginning of Perek HaShutfim. The whole Omen, the Ran is gigantic there, the first Mishnah in Perek HaShutfim. So the Ran quotes three opinions, L'Psak HaLoche. So some of the Rishonim Paskin, Yesh Brere, Bein B'Deraisa, Bein B'Derabbanan. Some Rishonim Paskin, Ein Brere, Bein B'Deraisa, Bein B'Derabbanan. And the Ran Paskins like this, Tosfos. The Kaimalon, the Ein Brere, Paskinik Raboshia from Beitza Daf Lamaches with respect to Adin Deraisa Ein Brera, with respect to Adin Derabban and Yesh Brera. That's the maskana of the Ran. So this is an issue of Deraisa about getting divorced, an issue of Deraisa, making a kinyan on one's property is Adin Deraisa. So the Gemara says not only is it an issue of Ein Brera, the husband says I'm going to write a get to one, he's married to two wives, they have the same name, and he didn't decide yet which wife, he can't afford both, it's too expensive. He's going to divorce one of his wives. He didn't decide which wife he's going to divorce yet. So that's called Ein Brera. The get is written Lishma, and we don't know which wife, which Lishma. He's going to decide later which Lishma. That's Ein Brera. Or I'm selling you a field. I didn't decide which field I'm going to sell yet. So I write a shtar vaguely. I'm selling you a field, and I'm going to decide later. So that's called Ein Brera. But not only is that called Ein Brera, the Gemara says, even if it's clear which wife I'm divorcing, but it's not clear when the get is taking effect, he gives a get to his wife and he says, I'll decide later when I want. I don't want the get to take effect now. I want the get to take effect at some later date, and I'll notify you later when the get should be chal. So the Gemara says, if I notify her in advance, and after I notify, then the get is chal, that's good. At the time the get is chal, it's Yodua. But if he's going to say the get should take effect the day before I die, so you won't know till the next day when the get took effect. At the time that it's taking effect, it's ain't a mavura, it's ain't a Yodua, it's ain't a baru. So that's also called an issue of brera. So if he says I want the kinyan to take effect shachar kedem sasi, there should also be a shayla of brera. I'll be pashtus. That's based on the Gemara Git. That should be a problem of brera. So we have a Mishnah, so this Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba says, I don't know. Shmuel says, Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Shmuel, if a married woman sells nichsa melug, it's not chal. Mechir is not chal. So Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba says, I don't know. I think it's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah Baba Basu talks about, Kosim l'chasav l'bino lachamoso. Father has 10 sons. He's going to die. His father's going to die. He doesn't want the Yerusha to go to all 10 sons. He singles out one son out of the 10 sons. He's poorer than the others, whatever. He's more religious than the other. Whatever the case happens to be. But what do you mean, lachamoso? So he writes, Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Bava Basra, Guf mehayom, uperes, la'achamiso. So the Mishnah says, Habein ani ocho limkom mitnei shein b'shusav. The son cannot sell the field yet. He didn't get it yet. The father's still alive. Hold your horses. The father's still alive. So the son can't sell it. V'avein ocho limkom mitnei shein b'shusav. The father can't sell it to someone else because he already gave it. Let's say I have a house and I sold it to you. And then I give it the matana to someone else after I give it the matana to you. After I already sold it to you, then I sell it or I give the matana to someone else. I already sold it, I gave it to the first person, so you can't give it to the second person. So it says, Ha'obeni yochalimkar. Father can't sell it or give away the property. He already gave it to Suvun Abbein. He already wrote a document, he's giving it to this son. He can't change his mind. It's already farfan, slacha maisa. He already gave it to him now. What if they went ahead and they did sell? Does it take effect? So the Mishnah says in Bava Basra, it depends. Mocha ha'av, if the father sold the property to someone else other than this son that he singled out before, so what's the din? Mechure matriyamos. The father is entitled to the payers of the karka called Mandav. He's alive. He gave the son, he singled that one son out of 10 sons, Bein Berabar. He singles him out, he says, Guf me ha'yom, peiris lahamis. So the father retains the payers for himself as long as the father is alive. So the father has a right to sell that schus peiris to someone else. Mocha ha'av, if the father sold to a stranger, mechure matriyoma, so the stranger is entitled to whatever the father was entitled to. Father was entitled to the peiris of the karka until he dies, till the father dies. So the lekech from the father is entitled to get the peiris. The father's going to die from starvation, he has no money. Because the son doesn't have the peiris, and the father just sold all the peiris to the stranger. Father has no assets. Okay, so live off of tzedakah, whatever it is. Yeah?
Does this apply strictly to karka, eros, literally land, and fruits, or also to investments such as principal arena?
Also, yeah, also. Same thing.
Right.
Same thing. So it says the son doesn't own it yet until the father dies. His father gave him lachamisa, so the son can't sell it yet, doesn't have it yet. The father can't sell it because he already gave it over to the son. What if they went ahead and they did sell samachorav? If the father goes and he sells the karka, so the father can sell whatever he's entitled to. Mechure matriyamis. The father retained for himself the schus peiris. He can sell the schus peiris to the lekech. So he said, what is he going to live on? The money that he got from selling the schus peiris to the other guy. Okay, he gave him money. What if macha habein? What if the son sells the property? The son didn't get the property yet, didn't get to own it yet. The son doesn't have a schus to anything until the father dies. His father gave him the guf mayom and peres lachamisa. So when the father will die, then the son will have. When the son will get, then the mechira that the son made to the third party, to the lakeach, will take effect. Macharabein ain la lakeach. The lakeach only is entitled to take over at shiyom asav after the father dies. And then the son would have been able to take over the whole peiris. So now the lakech min abein is entitled. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So now Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba says, Ano masniti dan. It's a beferish Mishnah. That is going to explain. Very long-winded explanation. You wonder whether this is really the Lashon HaGemara. Usually this kind of a long-winded explanation was added on by the Rabbanan Savaroi. You should look in the Rishonim if they have a commentary or the Goinim. So he gives a long explanation. But when the father dies, isli lalakeach, then the lakeach owns the karka with the peiros and everything. V'afagav the meisabein, v'chai ha'av. And even though the son, the father gave on, the father has 10 sons, and he singled out one son, and he says, I give all the karkos, I give all of my assets to this son. And then that son goes and he sells it to a lakeach. So the son only has a right to anything after the father dies. So the lakeach minabein is only entitled to take over after the father dies. So the Gemara is, Rabbi Yirmei bar Abba understood, when the father dies, Isle Lekech, the Lekech min Abein, the one who bought from the son, gets the karka with the peiros, Avgav the Meis Abein b'chayav, even though the son died before the father died, the loss of the day the Bein, and the son never got the poil mamash, the son never got to own the property. Kireb Shimon Ben Lakish Dama. There is a famous machlokes of Yochanan Ish Lakish. Famous, historically famous machlokes. Why is it historically famous? Because Rashi and Tosfos both quote from Yibamas Daf Lamed Vav. They quote from Rava. The Rava says, whenever there's a machlokes, Abai V'Rava. Whenever there's a machlokes, Rava says, whenever there's a machlokes of Yochanan Ish Lakish, they took a vote in the later generation of Yochanan Ish Lakish, but the first generation of Amorite. Yochanan was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Abai v'Rava were way later. They lived in Bavama. Rabbi Yochanan Ish Lakish lived in Eretz Yisrael. So Rava there in the beginning of Achoyle, it's the second daf. Achoyle starts Lamed Hamed Beis. So the second daf in Perak Achoyle, Lamed Vav, Rava makes a statement, we always paskin like Rabbi Yochanan against Ish Lakish, with only three exceptions to the rule, and this is one of the three exceptions. That Mocher Habein, that the Mechira is Chal. Mocher Habein, the Mechira is Chal. So the Gemara says, Ki ma yisov mihu yisle lalakech. If Mocher Habein, if the son sells this field that he got from the father that he didn't really get yet, father gave it to him lachamisa. So if the son sells before the father dies, ein lalakech klo matriyom asav. The lakech isn't entitled till the father dies, because the bain wasn't entitled to take anything till the father dies. But the Gemara is medai ki ma yisov mihu, when the father dies, yisle lalakech. The one who bought it from the son gets the whole car. Even though the son died before the father. And the son lost the date the bain. The son never got his hands on the nechas. It doesn't matter. Rabbi Yirmiyah Baraba holds like Reb Shimon Ben Lakish. The Amma, who says, commenting on that mission, exactly the same thing verbatim. Does make a difference who died first. In either case, Kona Halakeh. The Itma, because we know that this was a famous machlokes of Yochanan Ish Lakish, famous, historically famous, that this is one of the three exceptions to the rule. That we pass Malakir Ish Lakish, the Itma Mocher Abein B'chai Ho'ov, goes on that case where the father sold, father gave a Shtar Matana to one of his sons, he has 10 children, he gives a Shtar Matana to one of the sons, that all of my assets shall belong to you. But he doesn't say, Me'achshav, period. Me'achshav, so he'll be left penniless, and the son may decide not to give him back any money. So he doesn't trust the son so much. So he says, Me'achshav alachamisa. What do you mean, Me'achshav alachamisa? His goof me'ayom, me'peris lachamisa. So in that case, the Mishnah says, Mochar abein b'chai ho'ov. So it says, the lakeach, the one who bought it from the bain, is only entitled to foreclose on the property after the father dies. So that was a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Ish Lakish, who has to die first? So Rabbi Yochanan, so let's see, Mochar abein b'chai ho'ov, me'is abein b'chai ho'ov. What if the son died before the father died? The son to whom the father gave the whole matana, and he's only entitled to begin to take the matana after the father dies, that son dies before the father dies, so he never got his hands on the property. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Loi kana lakech. Rabbi Yochanan says, the whole mekach is not valid. Ish Lakish amar kana lakech. Rabbi Yochanan amar loi kana lakech. Rabbi Yochanan says, the lakech does not acquire, the one who buys it from the son does not acquire the ownership of the property. Why? Amar loch. Rabbi Yochanan explains, Kik tani masnis mach abein loi kana lakech. Ashi amasavich amaisav yisle la lakeach. If the son sells the property while the father's still alive, then the lakeach gets the ownership after the father dies. That's only provided the loy meis habein b'chayav. That's only if the son outlives the father. Dosa lidei habein. Ultimately, the bein gets it. And then when the bein gets it, and then the kinyan is chal to the lakeach. Avo meis habein b'chayav. But if the son would die before the father, dosa lidei the bein, the son never gets his hands on it. So kimaisav nami leisal lakech. The whole kinyan, the son sold the sada to lakech. The whole kinyan doesn't take effect. Why? Alma kasavi kinyan peres ke kinyan aguf dummy. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion. We don't accept. This is the one of the three cases. We don't accept Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. But he is of the opinion. Kinyan peres ke kinyan aguf dummy. What does that phrase mean? If one person has the kinyan aguf, the other person has the kinyan peres. So do you say the one who has the kinyan peres has the shame bailim, and the one who has the kinyan aguf cannot be considered a shame bailim? So if the one who has the if kinyan peres is kinyan aguf dami, then the one who owns the kinyan aguf but doesn't own the kinyan peres doesn't have a shame bailim even on the guf, even on the kinyan aguf that he owns, he doesn't have a shame bailim. That's Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Kinyan peres is kinyan aguf dami. The one who has the shame bailim is the one who has the bala kinyan peres. One who has the kinyan aguf is not called a bailim, doesn't have a chal shem bailim. So if he doesn't have a shem bailim, he has no ability to sell. So here, the father, akosik kol nechasim lebenol lachamoso, can't be taken literally. So what does it mean? The father gave, Rashi quotes from the Gemara Babasa, the father gave Guf Mehayoim, the Peris Lachamisa. So the father retains the Peris because man is alive. And the son that he chose, one son out of the 10 sons, that son owns the Kinyan Aguf now. So Rabbi Yechon holds Kinyan Peris is Kinyan Aguf Dami. The father retains the right to use the karka, the right to use this this item that the son owns. So the father has the Shem Balam. The son to whom he gave it does not have a Shem Balam because the son only has a Kinyan Aguf without a Kinyan Peris. So therefore the son is unable to sell until the father is going to die. So if the son sells and then the son dies before the father, so the whole Mechira is not Chal. The whole Mechira is not Chal because the son owned the Kinyan Aguf, but that's not enough in order to sell. I can't sell Einan Amachad Dov Hashem Shaloi. I can't sell what doesn't belong to me, but that's not the whole story. Even if it is a Dov Hashem Shaloi, I can't sell unless I have, in quotation marks, a Shem Bailu. So that's what they're arguing about. Who has the Shem Bailu? Rabbi Yochanan has this funny sheet. The Baal HaKinyan, the Iker ownership of property is in order to be able to use it. So since the father retained for himself the Kinyan Peris to the end of his days, to the day he's going to die, and he only gave over to this one son out of the 10 sons of Kinyan Aguf. So true, the son owns the Kinyan Aguf, but the son doesn't have a Shem Bailam on that. So the son cannot sell because he lacks a Shem Bailam. That's Rabbi Yochanan's sheet. And we don't pass like him. This is one of the three cases where we pass like Rish Lakish. Rabbi Shimon Melakish Shammai disagrees. That the Mishnah says the father gave the Guf Mayom and Peres Lachamisa to one of the 10 sons. And then the son goes and he sells it to a lokeach. So it says in the Mishnah, the lokeach can only take the karka after the father dies. And it doesn't say in the Mishnah who died first, whether the son died first or the father died first. Kiktori Masninsman, it says in the Mishnah, Machar Bein, and lokeach Hashem Sahab, Kimaisab Mihis, the lokeach. When the father dies, the lokeach gets it. Loishna doesn't make a difference. Loishna, loi meisa b'chayah bein. Dosa the day the bein. Loishna meisa bein b'chayah. The loosa the day the bein. Kona lokeach. The Mishnah is stam. So Rish Lakish, and that's the way we pass it. Rish Lakish says, the Mishnah doesn't make a distinction who died first. So even if the son to whom he gave the ownership, even if that son dies before the father, it turns out the son never got the Kinyan Peres, so what? The son already had a Shem Bailam while the father was alive. Kinyan Peres is Lavke Kinyan. Alma Kosover, we can infer that Rish Lakish's opinion is Alma Kosover, Kinyan Peres. When the son sold the karka to Lokeach, he was selling the Kinyan Aguf that he owns and he has a Shem Bailam on it. So that's the Machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. And the Gemara says there in Yevamos Daf Lamed Vav that this is one of the three cases. Rava says there were three cases, that means there was a gap of time between Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. In the days of Abai Barava, probably over 100 years, you've got to look in a history book. So in that period of time, in the last 100 years, the Rabbanim were debating the issue, and the consensus was like Rish Lakish. That's what Rav is telling you, the consensus. The consensus always was like Rabbi Yechanan against Rish Lakish, except for these three cases, the consensus was that we should pass them like Rish Lakish. So that's what the Gemara concludes. Vanan hashto bein Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba bein Rabbi Yudah ki Rabbi Shimon Melakish svira lehu. Vanan hashto, we today, who is we today, after Rava made the statement in Yivam Mustaf Lamed Vav, that we always pass from like Rabbi Yechon except for three cases, so we live after Rava. The Gemara is written by Rabbi Yirmiyah Rav Ashi, I don't know. So we today follow Rava's statement in Yivam Mustaf Lamed Vav. Vanan hashto bein Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba bein Rabbi Yudah. So you all know that the din is like Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Filuhu. So the Kama Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. So Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba says, why? Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba says that his brother gets the nechas. Mashmo bar Abba gets all the assets from the mother. The mother, when you have a married couple and they had nisuin, so there's a takanas chachamim. The takanas chachamim in the area of dinim amunis is binding because they have kibes nefer. So whatever takana they make is binding. So what takana did they make? That an isha nesua habal lechel peris nichsa maluk. So what does it mean? The nichsa maluk belong to the wife, nichsa tzambraza belong to the husband. Despite the fact that nichsa maluk belong to the wife, there's a takana of the rabbanon habal lechel peris. So the baal has the kinyan peris and the wife has the kinyan aguf. So does the fact that the husband has the kinyan peris, does that prevent the wife for being able to sell what she has. Not talking about wants to sell the Kenyan Paris. She doesn't have the right to the Kenyan Paris. The husband, the Rabbanon, they made Hefker Beres Mefker, made a takana that the husband owns the Kenyan Paris. Can the wife sell the Kenyan Aguf? Can the wife hear? The wife privately gave a Shtar Matana to her son. She had more than one son. She gave a Shtar Matana to Shmuel Bar Abba. She doesn't want the other sons to get, and she doesn't want a husband to get when she dies. Then she dies. So the brother paskin in favor of the brother against the father. Abiyamai Virabba paskins like Rab Shmuel Bar Abba. The Shtar Matana is good. Why is it good? Because the mother, even though she only had a Kenyan Aguf, she didn't have the Kenyan Paris, that doesn't prevent her from being able to sell. Just like we passed like Rish Lakish over there, Kenyan Paris, Lavki Kenyan Aguf. Kenyan Paris does not take away the fact that we split, that one person owns the Kenyan Paris, the other person owns Kenyan Aguf. That doesn't take away from the Shem Bailam on the Bala Kenyan Aguf, vis-a-vis the Guf. He has the ability to sell it. So here also, he says, what does the Gemara say? Banan, Hashton, Bismanazeh. How do we paskin? Ben Rabbi Yemeir Abba, Ben Rabbi Yudik, Reb Shimon, Ben Lokish, Svira Lahu. That's the Psak HaMekubal. That's in Yavamas Daflam Advav. The din is like Resh Lokish. The Kamar Rabbi Yemeir Bar Abba. So Rabbi Yemeir Abba says, Isogadat Kin Paris, Kinyin Aguf Tami. If you're going to say Kinyin Paris prevents the Bala Kinyin Aguf from being able to sell, so how do you read that Mishnah Baba Basra? You see, from the Mishnah Baba Basra, Resh Lokish is right. Kenyan Paris Lavke Kenyan Aguf. This is just repeating the same thing over and over and over again. That's why it doesn't sound like a Gemara. It sounds like something that the Rabbanis have a right. They always repeat it. You get everything straight. But Hashta the Gemara says, the Kamara Bimya Barabo Vasatekizok Isokadaita Kenya Paris Kikina Guf Tami. That the Bala Kenya Paris has the Shem Bailam. Bala Kenyan Aguf doesn't have a Shem Bailam. Kimai Sov and Mai Sabain Mechai Ha'ov. If the father gave the Kenyan Haguf to one of his sons and retained the Kenyan Paris himself, and that son goes and he sells to someone else, and the son dies before the father dies. So that was the debate, that was the original machlek, of Yechon Rish Lakish by the Mechir Eschal. Kimaisov, when the father died. But the son to whom the father had given the matonet predeceases the father, he dies first. Why does Rish Lakish say, why do we pass like Rish Lakish that the Lekech is Koine? Because of and high love, the day because of him. When the son sold, he didn't have a Shem Bailam. The answer is, Ela Lav Shemamira Kinyin Paris Lav Kinyin Aguf Domi. He does have a Shem Bailam. The Bala Kinyin Aguf owns, has a Shem Bailam on what he owns, on the Kinyin Aguf. So why can't the woman, the same thing, a married woman, the husband, Midirabana, and Hefke Bez Nefke, the husband has a Paris Nichsim Aluk. Fine. But the Kenyan Paris is Lavki Kenyan Aguf Domi. It doesn't detract from the woman's ability to sell. The woman owns the Kenyan Aguf, she should be able to sell it or give him a matana. So why isn't it valid? The wife gave a Shtar Matana to her son. He should get it, the father shouldn't get it. So the Gemara just chases over Rabbi Yemai Barabba's argument. I don't see, as Shmuel says, it's no good. Shmuel says, the Isha Shemach Menichsim Malub. So Shmuel says that the married woman does not have the ability, and Rabbi Yirmei Barabbas says, I don't know, I'm not masnita yadayin. I know the din is like Rish Lakish, Kenya Parislav, Kenya Raguvadami. That's how he read the Mishnah Baba Basra, and that's the din. I don't agree with Shmuel. So they told back Rabbi Yude this whole argument, the 30 line argument of Rabbi Yirmei Barabbas. So he says, yes, Shmuel knew about that Mishnah Baba Basra, and he says it's not the same. So the Gemara wants to know, why is it not the same? A hajua, the last narrow line. A hajua, the kamei, the rabbiude. They didn't live in the same city, apparently. So they went back and they told her, they lived in the same area. So they went back and they told rabbiude, who had quoted from Shmuel, that the psak of Rabbi Yirmei Bar Abba was wrong, so they went back and they told him, Rabbi Yirmei Bar Abba proved from the Mishnah Baba Basra that the din is like Rish Lakish, he proved that his psak is right. So why does Shmuel say it's not right? So he answers back, Amalahu, Shmuel knew that Mishnah, and he says, it's Ein Adayim, it's not the same. Amalahu, Hachi Amal Shmuel, Shmuel said like this, the Ein Adayim the Mishnah saying, or it's not the same as the Mishnah. Frag the Gemara, my time, why is it Ein Adayim the Mishnah saying? So leave out a few lines. Four lines from the bottom. Elo, Potz, Pshad, Mayan, Adayman, Mishnah, Seinu. First thing was going to have four lines of a Havamina. Four or five lines. Then Gemara is going to come to the correct Pshad. Elamai and the Deir Mishnah saying, why does Shmuel say it's not the same? Min HaTorah, on the level of Darais, it is the same. It's a Takonas Chachamim. V'usha hiskinu. Elamai and the Deir Mishnah, Shem Takonas Usha. Usha is the name of a city. It's not the name of a person. V'usha hiskinu. When the Bez Nagadol, at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, so the Gemara says, Esa Goli is Golsa Sanhedrin. Mechuvin Keneged, Esa Goli is a Golsa Shechina, at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. The Gemara, the end of Rosh Hashanah, quotes Pesukim from Nevi'im and Ksuvim to demonstrate that at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Shechina went, Mi'alaka Paris, Mimbein Shnei Akruvim, but it went, ran back to the seventh heaven. All over the Shechina went back to heaven. So it went one stage, second stage, third stage, fourth stage, Esa Golis Golsa Shechina, then the Shechina went back to the seventh heaven. So parallel to the Esa Golis Golsa Shechina at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, documented by the quotation of the Pesukim from Tanakh, so the Gemara says that historically Esa Golis Golsa Sanhedrin at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. So first they went from the Lishkas Agazis to a Chanus. Chanus is some location on the Har Bayis. Then they went from the Har Bayis to Yerushalayim. Then they went from Yerushalayim to Yavne. Then they went to Usho, Shvarim, Sipari, all a bunch of different places. Back and forth they were running around until everything disappeared. And then the Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes in the end of Hilchos Sanhedrin, that the Sanhedrin will reconvene, whatever it's going to be reconvening, and reconvene in the same location where they last met, Sipari, or whatever it was, somewhere in the Galil. So the Rambam quotes that tradition in Hilchos Sanhedrin. And that's the Gemara. In the end of Rosh Hashanah says like that. So that's what the Gemara says. Be'usha hiskinu, when the Sanhedrin was located in the city Usha for a period of time, for a year or two. So at that time, they made a takana. Isha shemach menich simluk b'chad ba'la mesa ha'ba'al motzi miyad ha'lukuchais. They made a takana de Rabbanon, even on Ikir adin deraisa de Isha, does have the ability to give a matane. Rabbi Yirmei Bar Abba is right. He analyzed the din 100% accurately. Rabbi Yirmei Bar Abba's analysis is correct. The din should be that the mother can sell, the mother can give a matane. The thing that he didn't know was that there was a takana de Rabbanon that prevented her from doing it. Hefke bez nefke, b'usha hiskinu, that he can't do that. The Taisus here has the famous kasha. Bu'usha hiskinu, the little Taisus. Bu'usha hiskinu ha'ishu shemachra. So for Taisus akasha, there was a machlaikas of Yechon and Reish Lakish, but the King Peres came out, Gubdan the King Peres, love King Yogan. What does it mean? If one person has Kinyan Aguf, one person has Kinyan Peres, so do you say the one who has the Kinyan Aguf does not have a Shem Bailer? And therefore he cannot sell. In order to be able to sell, you can only sell what belongs to you. But Noisef Al-Kach, you have to have a Shem Bailam on that too. It's not enough that I own the Kinyan Aguf. I have to have a Shem Bailam on it. So if the other one has the Kinyan Peris on this same item that I have, the Kinyan Aguf, so if Yechon holds Kinyan Peris, the Kinyan Aguf, I mean, he has the Shem Bailam, I don't have the Shem Bailam. So since I, the Bala Kinyan Aguf, don't have a Shem Bailam, Rabbi Yechon holds Mikar Adin, I can't sell. And we pass him like Reish Lakish. This is one of the three exceptions to the rule. We pass him like Reish Lakish that Kinyan Peres says, love Kinyan Aguf Dami. The Bala Kinyan Aguf owns the Kinyan Aguf and he has the Shem Balam and he can sell. So the Gemara says in Usha, when the Bezdin was in Usha, they made a Takana de Rabbanon, Isha Shemach Menich Simulug Mesa, Chaba Moetz Meir Alkuf, made a Takana de Rabbanon that the woman cannot sell. If not for that Takana de Rabbanon, the din would have been that the woman does have the ability to sell. So doesn't the fact that the Takonas has Sanhedrin in the city Usha, they made a Takona that preventing the wife to sell. Mikar Adin Derai, so she can sell. So it's a Raya Brewer. This whole Sanhedrin holds like Reish Lakish. How does Rabbi Yechanan disagree with all the 71 members of the Sanhedrin? According to Rabbi Yechanan, why was there a need for Takonas Usha? Mikar Adin Derai, once they made a takana de rabbanon that the baal was echel peres, so the baal has the shame bailam. The isha doesn't even have a shame bailam on the nichsim b'lu, because kini peres kini agav domi. So the isha cannot sell mikra din deraisa. So what do you need a takana de rabbanon for? It's a murderous kasha. Taisus asks it in Yevamos and Exubis. On the side of the daf, they tell you ein taisus Exubis, ein taisus Yevamos. All over and Baba Basra Taisus asks the same kasha. Hashas kasha. Vim time of the Rabbi Yechanan. Why was there a need for a takana susha? Given the kinyan aguf dami. If kinyan peris kinyan aguf dami, so the husband has the kinyan peris. So the wife doesn't have a shame bailam on the kinyan aguf. So she can't sell. Goodbye. She can't sell min atayra. So what do you need a takana de rabbana for? Unless you'll say, we learned the end of Perek Merubim. So the Gemara talked about the Eser Takanas that Ezra made. So one of the 10 Takanas was that a Balkari has to go to Mikvah for Divrei Torah. So Tosis quotes there on Pei-Beis on the days that in later generations they abolished. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira did away with Takanas Ezra. The Taptos writes, Lekayim on the Hoth, we no longer observe this 10th Takana. We only observe the 9 Takanas of Ezra. 10th Takana was cancelled. As it says in Brachas Daf Kodesh, we didn't know Gamak at Klasa. For Tesa Akasha, how can Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira abolish a Takana Sezra? In Dresden Yochalavatu, Libby Besna Chavim, King Godel Hemena, Bechachma of the Minyan. Did Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira think that he was greater Bechachma of the Minyan than Ezra Ubeis Dinai? How did he think that he had the audacity to be mevatel at Takana says, did he think that he was greater b'chachma or b'minyan? That's Tosis Kasha. So Tosis works on the Kasha. So he said that the Me'iri and Brachas on that daf, and daf Chabesh, answers that this was not a Takana says, or a Takana midirabbanan. This was a din d'oraisa. Why is it called Takana says? So the Me'iri quotes to such a similar Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechem ben Zakkai was a chief rabbi for 40 years. Mora claims a historical tradition. He lived to the age of 120. Abichem Azaka lived to the proverbial age of 120. Admeri Esim Shon. So the first 40 years of his life, he made $1 million, and then he retired. And then after making $1 million, at the age of 40, he sat down and he learned for the next 10 years. He became a big Talmid Chacham in 40 years, till the age of 80. Then at the age of 80, they appointed him as a chief rabbi. So he served as chief rabbi for 40 years, from the age of 80 till the age of 120. Like Rav Lezer Shach. They appointed him as the God Ladder in the age of 80 or so, and he lived almost 120. Lived over 100, I think. No, lived over 100 years old. So the Gemara says, during his tenure as chief rabbi, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai instituted, who basically instituted 9 takkanis. So the Gemara lists off all the 9 takkanis. Mishnah is all over the place. Rosh Hashanah, Sukkah, all over. But then the Gemara says, one of the 9 takkanis is really a din d'oraisa. Sheyehei yom hanef kula yaseh. That on the day of Tenufa Sa'imer, they used to bring the Mincha Soim on the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach, and that was Matal the Issa Chodesh. Whatever new Tevuah was planted after last Pesach was also to be eaten until you makrev the Mincha Soimer and next Pesach on the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach. So Hakrovas Mincha Soimer is Matal the Issa Chodesh. What do you do after the Churban HaBayis? There is no Hakrovas Mincha Soimer. So the Gemara says the Pasuk is vague. The Pasuk says, you're not allowed to eat chodosh. Lechav kalu kamla means chodosh. You're not allowed to eat ad etzam hayam hazeh till itzum shel yom, till the daytime of the 16th of Nisan, first day Chol Hamoed Pesach. Ad haviyachem mesayim atufa. So it's a shtickle contradiction. You're not allowed to eat chodosh till you actually bring the carbon mincha soimer, or till itzum shel yom. Which is it? So Gemara says no contradiction. Bisman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim. Is that Haviyachem Esayim Atufa? And if you know, if they'll announce on the radio, the Bez Nagadol saw to it, the representative Bez Nagadol will say that the Kohen and the Beis Hamikdash was Makrid Mincha Soimer. So all over the world, they're allowed to eat Chodesh. Bizman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kayim, then you can't say Ad Haviyachem, then it's Ad Etzem Ayem Azeh, Ad Yitzum Shel Yom. So the Gemara says, you say, Yitzum Shel Yom is the daytime part of the 16th of Nisan as opposed to the night before. The night before Leil, when you start counting Sphira, Leo, Tezai, and Nissen, that's Yom HaKrov HaSayim, that's not called the Itzum Mishol Yom. Itzum Mishol Yom means the daytime part of the day. So the Gemara says, which part of the daytime part of the day? Is it Ad V'Ad B'Klau or Ad V'Loy Ad B'Klau? Meaning you say, Ad Itzum Mishol Yom. Ad Etzem HaYom is not Leil Chodesh till Ad V'Ad B'Klau, till the end of the day, till the Shki at the end of the day of Tezai and Nissen. Or ad v'loy ad b'chlal, ad itzuma shel yom till the morning, till alos hashachar of tezayin. So the Gemara says that there was a misunderstanding between Rabbi Yehuda and the other Tanoim. Rabbi Yehuda was a later Tana. He didn't know Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. Rabbi Yechman Zakkai said the same as Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed, thinking that Rabbi Yechman Zakkai disagreed. They both said the same thing. That is ad v'yad bichlal. You're not allowed to eat the chodesh till the end of the day of Tezayin Nisan. So the Gemara says, one of the nine takonas of Rabbi Yechman Zakkai is sheyehei yoyim henef kula yosef. After the Churban Abayis, his ban Abayis, they were allowed to eat the after they announced to everyone that the Oymah was brought, so everyone was allowed to eat Chodesh. After the Churban Abayis, and Mechem and Zakkai made a takana, you're not allowed to eat Chodesh till the end of the day. So Gemara says it wasn't really a takana de Rabbanan, it was a din daraisa. That's how he read the pasuk. And he means Adi Ad Bechlal till the end of the day, till the end of the daytime part of the day. Not enough till the end of the nighttime part of the day, the beginning of the morning of Tezayin Nisan, no, till the end of the daytime part of the day. So Rabbi Yechman Zakkai meant to din deraisa. So why did he call it one of the nine takanas of Rabbi Yechman Zakkai? So Gemara says, Dorash v'hiskin. The word takana doesn't always mean a takana de Rabbanon. Sometimes it just means that the rabbis popularized a drasha that really represents a din deraisa. This was really a din deraisa. Ad v'yad bichlal, that tenufa, that after the Churban Abayis and there's no hakrovas bin chasoimer, so the tvoch hadosha may not be eaten till the end of the day, till the end of Tezaynis. So the Meiri writes in Brachas on Daf Chabez, just like the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, that Dorash v'hiskin, that this constitutes, this is one of the nine takanas of Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, that Yom Tenufa Soimer, you're not allowed to eat Chodesh, it's not a takana d'Rabban, it's a din d'Raisa. Similarly here, when the Braisa says that there were 10 takanas of Ezra, it's not really all 10 are takanas d'Rabbanan. 9 were takanas d'Rabbanan, and the 10th one was Dorash v'Hiskin. He publicized the din d'Raisa. This halacha, that a Balkari is not permitted to learn Torah till he goes to the mikveh, Ezra felt that that was really a din d'Raisa. He called it a takana because he made it popular, he enforced it. He was mecharishit and he enforced it and he saw that everyone observed the din. So if it would have been only a din de Rabbanon, then a later Bezdin can only repeal his takana de Rabbanon if the later Bezdin is greater b'chokhman v'binyan. But it was never intended from day number one. This was never intended as a din de Rabbanon. Miri says this always was intended to be a real din d'Oraisa, that a Balkari is not allowed to learn Torah, was intended as a din d'Oraisa. So since it's intended as a din d'Oraisa, we have a kula involved, that if a later bezdin doesn't agree, ein lecha l'shefet shebi'amecha, yiftach b'dor kishmol b'dor. You don't require a bezdin gadol b'chachma v'minyan to undo what the original bezdin said. That's if the original bezdin made a takana d'Rabbanan. So the later bezdin wants to repeal a takana d'Rabbanan, they're undoing that takana d'Rabbanan. So then there's a rule, you have to have a bezdin gadol b'chachma v'minyan. But if the earlier Bezdin never made a takana d'Rabban, the earlier Bezdin darshan the psukim one way, the later Bezdin feels that they want to darshan the psukim differently. So kachi darka shaltar, that's the way it always is. There are issues that before the Second World War, the rove of the poskim in Europe held one way. And after the Second World War, you look in all the tshuvas, all the Rabbanim felt the other way. They changed a lot of things. That's called Mishnah Rishayna and Mishnah Achrayna, Bezdin Shal Achrayim Rami. You have a Mishnah like that. The trend of one generation was that the majority opinion was in one direction. Then in the later generation, the consensus changed. And it shifted and it turned the other direction. So you don't need God and B'chachma opinion. That's the color. V'asa al-shefet t'shiyya b'yamimayim. Ein l'cha al-shefet sh'b'yamecha. Yiftach b'doro, yishmul b'doro. So that's what the Miri writes. He says that just like the Gemara says that Rabbi Yechman Zakkai made nine takanas, and one of the nine takanas was Yom Henef, the day of Tenufa Soimer. Kula Osir, after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, you're not allowed to eat Chodesh all day long. So the Gemara says that was really a din d'Oraisa, that wasn't a din d'Rabbanan. Ad etzam hayom hazeh, ad itzumo shel yom, ad v'yad bechlal, till the end of the daytime part of the day of Tezayin. But just like the Gemara says, that doesn't mean a takana d'Rabbanan, so to over here, the 10 takanas of Ezra, one of them was Dorash v'Hiskin, and not a takana d'Rabban, it's a real din d'Oraisa. So that's what some of the Rishonim answer over here on this Tosis Kasha. They're bothered with the Kasha and Peches on the base Busha Hiskinu. Tosis Pech Kasha. Bishleim, if you all like Rish Lokish. Kinyan Peris is Labki Kinyan Aguf Dami. Mikra din deraisa, the wife who's married does have the ability, she does have the ability to sell her nichsei malum. Say nida takana derabbanu b'ushi iskinu, that she cannot sell for some reason or another. It's going to cause friction in the marriage. So it's not a smart idea. So we say the sale is not valid. But if you hold like Rabbi Yechon holds min ha-teiru. Kinyan Peres is kinyan ha-guf dami. So mid-deraisa she cannot sell. So why do you need a takana derabbanu? So some Rishonim say, b'ushi iskinu, the word iskinu doesn't always have to mean a takana derabbanu. Sometimes the word iskinu means dorash v'iskin. They just popularized the din. They publicized this psak, Lehevi Yadua, that this was always the din from Maimon HaSinai on. Kinyan Peres is kinyan ha-guf dami, and the wife cannot sell the nichsei maluk because she doesn't have a shem bailum. She owns the nichsei maluk, she owns the kinyan ha-guf, but she can't sell it because kinyan Peres kinyan ha-guf dami. The husband has the kinyan Peres, and that cancels her shem bailum on the kinyan ha-guf. So that's what some of the Rishani answer. Luisha Hiskina, what do you need a takana for? The answer is not a takana de Rabbanu. It means Dorash Vehiskin. It was a din deraisa. Our Tosis does not answer
that. What does it mean, shame by them? Like, I understand it's the anniversary, so it's yours, but you just don't have the ability. What does it mean that I own the Kinyan HaGuf, but I don't have shame by them?
That's Rabbi Yechanan added on a new concept. It could be Shlokish denies the whole existence. Shlokish says he made up a figment of his imagination. He made up a new concept. In order to be able to sell the Gemara, I have to own it. I have to have full ownership. Shaliyah Bishusi. Own it is a half of the story. It has to be Shaliyah Bishusi, full ownership. And in addition to being Shaliyah Bishusi, full ownership, I have to have a Shem Bailam. The Shlokish says there is no such thing. It's the same thing. If it's Shaliyah Bishusi, you have a Shem Bailam. Rabbi Yechanan came up with a new concept. You can't sell something unless it belongs to you, and you have a Shem Bailam on it. And he says, if you have one has the Kinyan HaGuf, one has the Kinyan Peres, so he cancels the Bala Kinyan Peres, cancels the Shem Bailam from the Bala Kinyan HaGuf. So true, the Bala Kinyan HaGuf owns it, Shaloi B'Shusai, but he can't sell the Kinyan HaGuf that he owns because he doesn't have a Shem Bailam. So Mishlokish said, there ain't no such thing. It's Hainu Hach, whoever owns it, that's the Shem Bailam. How'd you come up with a new fictitious concept of a Shem Bailam? He was going to go weiter, let's say. There's a din of Yoma Yomayim. If you shoot someone and he's brain dead, whatever, and he's a mefarper, he's hovering between life and death for a month, and then he finally dies after a month, so the din is that I get the death penalty. He doesn't have to die immediately. He doesn't have to die terkei de diba. He doesn't have to die within 24 hours. If he dies a year later, if I slap somebody now, and then he dies at the age of 119, and the doctors ascertain that he's dead. He died earlier because of the slap that I gave him. I'm Chai Misa, I'm a Ratzeh. I'm Chai Misa. The other thing is that it's impossible. How can the doctors ever ascertain that he died a day earlier, a minute earlier than he would have otherwise died because of the slap that I gave him 100 years earlier? It's a far-fetched case. But strictly, Apidin is like that. So the one exception to the rule is an Evik 90. If you shoot an Evik 90, and he dies after 24 hours, then you're not Chai Mis, only if he dies within 24 hours. But the Pasuk says that's only Ki Kaspahu, Lo Yukam, Ki Kaspahu. If I hit my own Evik 90, if I hit someone else's Evik 90, then there is no din of Yom HaYamayim. In Yom HaYamayim Ya'amod, Lo Yukam, you don't take Nekome, Nokami Nokim. Nokami Nokim means Sayef. So HaRetzeach is one of the two people that Chayv Sayef. So whenever I kill anybody, I kill it. If I kill a Nochri, not Chai Misa. So now there, but you're not Chai Misa. If I kill the Yisrael or I kill Evik 90, I am Chai Misa. But if I kill my own Evik 90, so then it depends. Does he die within 24 hours? Does he die after 24 hours? So it says if he dies after 24 hours, lo yukam, the Bezin should not take the Koma. It doesn't get the punishment of Sayyid. Ki kaspahu, because that's a quirk of Aloha, because it belongs, it's his Evik 90. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. What's the din? You have a setup where one person, I have an Evik 90, and I sell the Evik 90 to you. It should belong to you. The next 30 days, he should still have to work for me. After the 30 days, he's totally yours. So within the 30 days, you own the Kinyan HaGuf. I give you ownership, Me'achshav. Not that I give you the ownership of the Evik Lachalam Yom. I give you the whole goof mehayoim, And the Paris lacha lamed yom. So during the first 30 days, I have the kinyan Paris, and you have the kinyan agruf. So which one of the two of us has the din of yom or yomai? No one's allowed to kill the Erev Knani. The Erev Knani is like Israel, even it's like a Nochri. You're not allowed to kill a Nochri either. So the Shaila is, but which one of the two of us has the Shein Bailam? They say, Kenya Peres, Kenya Aguf Dami, he has the Shein Bailam? Kenya Peres Lab, Kenya Aguf Dami? So the one who owns the Kenya Aguf has the Shein Bailam. So the Gemara has a Machlekes Hatanayim on that. But this issue, Kenya Peres, Kenya Aguf, was a Machlekes Abyechon of Eish Lokish that we just went through on Peches on the days. And then the Gemara said, this is one of the three cases where we don't pass like Rabbi Yechanan. We pass like Rabbi Shlokish, King Peris, Lavki, King Yiragub Dami. But the Gemara shows on the next daf, on Pei Tes on the base, on Tzadik Amin Aleph, that this Machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Shlokish was from the Tkufas HaTanoim. They were just repeating an old Machlekes. There were a lot of Machlekes Amaroim that were debated in the days of the Tanoim. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai, I think, Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai knew everything. He knew even Havayis Dabai V'Rabbi. He knew all the issues that were going to be debated and that were going to be debated in the later generation. A lot of times you have a Machlekes Amoraim was a repeat. He had the same Machlekes in the days of the Tanoim. A lot of times you have in the days of the later Rishonim, they repeated an old Machlekes they had in the days of the earlier Rishonim. They weren't, some of that time they weren't even aware that it was already argued out in the earlier generation. Gezura writes like that about Afrosh Eschala. If you make cake or cookies and you don't use any water at all, you only use May Peris. So that's a Machlekes HaTanoim and Mishnah Ischala. And that was a Machlekes HaRishonim in the earlier generations. And that was a repeated Machlekes HaRishonim in the later generations. They weren't aware that it was argued out in the earlier generations had a Paskin. And in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the compromise of the Maharam Rutenberg in order to be able to Yidei Kol HaDeis. So he says you should always pour in a little bit of water. Oy Shaila. So if you mix a little bit of water in, so for sure you're chayv in hafrosh eschal. Why do you have to only mix in mei peiris and have a hafrosh and misafik without a bracha with shaylas? Pour in a little bit of water, you'll be mafrish chal b'toras vada and not b'toras sof. So you have a lot of times like that, issues that were debated in the days of the Amoraim, already debated in the days of the Tanoim. Or sometimes issues that were debated by the Tanoim, machlekes, we discussed many times, machlekes of Rekim and Rabbi Shmuel, whether lo yitama is a chayva, lo yitama is reshus, that the kohen is permitted to be mitama, he's permitted to participate in the funeral of the zayin kohen and the seven relatives, so he's obligated to. So the Gemara records in Zvachem on Daf Kuf, that was a machlekes bizman bayisheni, before Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel were born. That was a machlekes, and it was already accepted then, like Rabbi Akiva. Then in the later generations, the same machlekes came up, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. They repeated the same machlekes then. So here also, this machlekes by the King Paris King Aguf Dami, we know it from the latest Mahadura. Machlekes of Yechon and Shlokish, and Rabbi says in Yivam Islam and Rav, this is one of the three cases that we pass from like Rishlokish, the exception to the rule. So the Gemara says on Tzadik Amenal, this was an alter machlekes in the days of the Tanoim, whether the din of who has the Shein Bailam, the Bala Kinya Paris or the Bala Kinya Aguf, is relevant for the din of Yom or Yomayim. You're only chayv misa if you kill your Rebbe Knani. If you're the Bailam on the Rebbe Knani, only if you kill your Rebbe Knani, if he dies within 24 hours, dies after 24 hours, im yom ayamayim yamod lo yukam ki kaspahu. Then the Gemara has the same shayla, same setup. I sell an Rebbe Knani to someone else, anonashi yisham shein yishloshim yom, so I retain the Kinyan Peris, and I only gave you Kinyan Aguf. And then in that 30 days, the Shloshim Yom, so you have the Kinyan Aguf and I have the Kinyan Peris. So the Shaila is, somebody knocked out the Eved's tooth. So is there a din of Shen B'Yayin? The Shen B'Yayin only applies if the Odon, if the one who's the Baal HaEved, knocks out the Shen B'Yayin. So who's called the Baalim on the Eved? Does it depend on the Baal HaKinyan Peris or does it depend on the Baal HaKinyan Aguf? It could be that there's a, Gemara says, it could be that there's a local reason why the Machlekes of Yechon Shlokish shouldn't apply here. You could say that the whole din, lo yukam ki kaspuhu, the Rambam writes on that din. What's the logic behind the din? That if I take a gun and I shoot my Yevik Naini in his brains, I blast out his brains, and he only dies 25 hours later. He didn't die. The doctors put him on all kinds of machines, and he lives for another 24 hours. And he dies 25 hours after I shot him. So what kind of a din is that, that I'm off the hook? How do you explain it? So the Rambam writes, based on a suggestion in the Gemara, the Rambam writes, the whole din of Yom HaYamayim only applies if the Adon was asking the Eved, he was demanding of the Eved that he should do some service for him, he should do some work. And the Eved doesn't want to do the work. He refuses to. And the Adon says, that's not right. You're my Eved, not your Mechiv to do the work. And he refuses, he's lazy. So the Adon slaps him, he pushes him, he encourages him. And he slapped him a little too much by accident. So then there's a din. Of course, they were Eidim Mahasra. But still, he was hitting him in the line of duty, so to speak, in order to encourage the Eved that he should do the work that he's mechuyev to do. So then the Rambam Svara only applies, the one who has the Bala Kinyan Peres has the right to make him do work. One has the Bala Kinyan Aguf, maybe he has a shame bailim, but he can't say that he's hitting him in the line of duty. The Rambam says, if I take a gun and I shoot him in his brains, and he survives 25 hours, I'm not putter from Isa. That wasn't to encourage him to do work. Encourage him means to hit, to push him, to slap him, something. I push him towards the staircase, and then he falls down. He fell down the staircase, and I misjudged it. And the Adam are warning me, don't push him, he's going to get killed. And I say, no, he has to do the work. He's lazy, he doesn't want to do the work. So I pushed him, thinking that he's not going to get killed. So the Rambam says, only in such a case is there a din of Yom HaYamayim Yamo. So if you say like that, Rambam, that's a local svara, that tour misa only applies to the Adam. It's not enough you have a shame bailam. You have to have the right to make the Eved do work. If in the 30 days I only own the Kinyan Aguf and someone else owns the Kinyan Peres, so you can't say that I'm hitting the Eved in order to encourage him to do work for me. He doesn't have to do work for me, he has to do work for the other one. And the same Shaila in the previous Gemara by the Shen V'Yayin. So the Gemara says maybe Shen V'Yayin is a Yotze Min HaKlal, maybe Shen V'Yayin depends on the real owner. Okay. One could throw in a Svara L'Chalek. But before you get to the Svar Lachalik, so the Gemara thought that it's all one topic, it's all one issue. Who has the Shein Bailam? When you split the Kinyan Peres with the Kinyan Aguf, you say Kinyan Peres ke Kinyan Aguf Dami, he has the Shein Bailam? Or you say Kinyan Peres lap ke Kinyan Aguf Dami, whoever owns the Kinyan Aguf, not only does he own the Kinyan Aguf, he has a Shein Bailam over that Kinyan Aguf. Who do you pay the nezik to? I don't know. That's a question. Does that depend on this new mysterious concept of Shein Bailam? Or do you say whoever loses out collects the nezik? I don't know. The Gemara does not discuss it. Yeah. I don't know. The Gemara does not discuss it. The topic of King Pesach Aguf is never discussed in the context of a mazik. I don't
know. Wants his
son to have it. You're raising a different point. The whole reason my single dad wants son, he wants him to have it. Then that son goes and he sells it and he dies before the father dies. So that wasn't the intention of the father. If I found that's not the intention, see. He didn't. That's Ram Shavale. That doesn't matter. I give my son $100,000 thinking he's going to sit and learn for the next 20 years. And then he goes into business and he doesn't sit and learn. So if I found, I can't ask him for the money back.
He says, only if you outlive me.
Okay. If he makes it tonight, okay. He was talking, didn't make it tonight.
And the person with the kid that I built him after said,
the person has the same question, same machlekes. Can the Bala Kinyan Aguf be Magdashit? So if you are like Rish Lakish, he can be Magdashit. If you are like Rav Herchen, he cannot be Magdashit. Same Shaila. The same Shaila. So that was Tosis Kasha again. This is a famous Kasha. Tosis asked in all the Masechtas and the other Rishonim asked, Bu'usha Hiskinu. What do you need a Takanas Usha? Doesn't it sound clearly from the fact that there's a Takanas Usha? Did all the members of the Sanhedrin agree with Reish Lakish? Mikra Adin, the married woman, can sell the Nechse Malur. Because Kinyan Peres that the husband has is Lavke Kinyan Aguf Dami. should not prevent the wife from selling, from giving a matana. It's only a takana derabbanan hefker beznef. They changed the din derais. But you see the Farish, the whole Sanhedrin, when they were in Usha, they all held like Reish Lakish. What, Rabbi Yechon's got to argue with the whole Sanhedrin? So that's one of the terutzim that Taisa gives. And the other mesechtis is, Usha Hiskinu doesn't necessarily, the word Hiskinu doesn't always mean a takana derabbanan. Maybe it means Dorash Vehiskin. They popularized and publicized the din deraisa the way Rabbi Yechonon understands it, that Kinyan Paris is Kinyan Aguftam. It just were Mavara the din. Usha Hiskin. Taisus and Baba Basra asked the same kasha and gives a very cryptic answer that doesn't read too well. So the Yosameach has a piece in Hilchos Ratzeach. Perek Beis in Hilchos Ratzeach, the Yosameach has a piece on that Taisus. What is it doing in Hilchos Ratzeach? Because the Gemara and Daf Tzadik and Aleph had the machlokes, but the Kinyan Paris King Agud Dami Anad with respect to the din of Yom HaYamayim. If you kill a Yisrael, you kill it every Knaini, you chai misa, say it. If you kill your own every Knaini, then there's a Yetzim and Aklal, Yom HaYamayim Yamad Lo Yukam Kikas Kulim. So that's quoted in the Rambam in Perek Beis and Duchas Ritzeh. Rambam Paskin is like Reb Loza, the Tana Reb Loza, Shnei Meinim Adin Yom HaYamayim. Nobody has a din of Yom HaYamayim. Sure? Okay. But the special Gzeres HaKosah. The Gemara says, we should be late, the Machlegs of Yechon and Shlokish, to the case of Yom HaYaman, to the din of Yom HaYaman. So the Yosameach points out what if I rent an apartment, I'm a landlord, I have real estate, and I rent an apartment to the tenants. Dardak is not here.
Just
walked out. Okay. Rabbi, you want to make a CMO?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Asher Dardak decided, I didn't ask him, he decided to learn all of Shisa Sidre Mishnah in memory of my father. So he started 2 months ago and he finished all of Shisa Sidre Mishnah. So he's going to make a CMO nice now, okay?
I'm
going to
be